Glory to God. Go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start over there in verse 5 here in just a moment. But tonight I want to talk to you about what poverty is. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just kind of stirring on the inside of me. Or you could also call this message breaking into new levels.
Yeah, that's good.
Breaking into new levels. You know, as soon as that word poverty is mentioned, of course, you know, people start thinking, you know, it's a financial lesson. It's going to be, you know, we're going to, you know, hear a sermon about money or how to handle finances. Well, yeah, finances are included. But I tell you what, the world has an interesting definition of what poverty is. You know, a lot of folks, they think, well, poverty is just a lack of money. Oh, no, it's not. Because money never made anybody rich.
That's right.
Money never made anybody rich, so the lack of it can't make you poor.
Right.
Come on now. Praise the Lord. But we're going to, you know, start looking at the definition, you know, of what poverty is in the Bible's definition. Praise the Lord. You know, I see so many people as a pastor. I see a lot of people with a lot of low thinking. You know, and I see a lot of people, they're struggling. They're struggling with finances. They're struggling with fear. They're struggling with, you know, making ends meet and you know, living life. And I see a lot of people, and sometimes it's just downright, you know, pitiful sometimes how low the body of Christ thinks. Praise the Lord, because poverty is not a lack of money. Poverty is the byproduct of wrong thinking. And never forget it. Praise the Lord. And we're going to take a look at it. Poverty is a lack of right thinking, right? It's not a lack of money. Money never made you poor. Thoughts made you poor. Thoughts will make you poor. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of folks out there that even have, you know, a certain level of financial ability and so on. That does not make them rich. That does not make them rich. And just because maybe you're facing a financial trial, guess what? That money or that trial didn't make you poor either. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you're going to catch up to what God put on the inside, if the natural realm is going to catch up, well, then we better start thinking with the supernatural realm and stop thinking from out here in this natural realm. Amen. And start thinking about what God made us.
Yes.
And the fact is, the Bible made us tells us over there in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that he made us rich.
Yes. Yes. Right.
You know, the world is so concerned about money and finances. They worry about it all the time. They think about it all the time. They're stressing to have it all the time. They are chasing it because money has become their God. And they don't even know and understand that the Bible says that if you'll pursue God, money will pursue you. It'll follow you. Your needs will be abundantly met. You won't lack any good thing. The Bible says over there in Psalm 84:11 that the Lord is a sun and a shield. Grace and glory shall he give. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Real quickly, can you just bring up 2 Corinthians 8, 9? I know we were going to go to Romans over there. But just so, you know, maybe some of our newer folks, you understand what I say or what I mean when I say that we are rich. We are rich. I don't care what car you drove in here tonight with. I don't care what your house looks like. I don't care how much your portfolio is worth or you don't have a portfolio. It don't matter. You are rich by the grace of God. Amen. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich.
Yes.
Well, see, there's something interesting. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was rich.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, he was just rich because, you know, we came from heaven and he was rich before he came to this earth. But when he got here, he was really poor. No, that's not what the Bible says at all. That's not what the Bible says at all. Read Luke chapter 8. Read about the first dozen of scriptures in there. And you'll find out that there was people that ministered to him out of their great wealth and abundance.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus' ministry and his life was fully furnished. Amen. It says, though, yet for your sakes he became poor. No, that's not when he came to this earth. It was when he went to the cross.
Right.
It says that you, yeah.
Yes.
Amen. All of us that through his poverty might be rich. Or literally, the Greek says you would be made rich.
Yeah.
Now, don't let that word rich, you know, upset you. You know, we say it around here all the time. It means fully supplied.
Amen.
Fully supplied, all right? It doesn't, you know, it doesn't equivalate to millions, billions, or whatever. You know, it's not a matter of a certain amount of money as much as it is. In God's eyes, he sees you as an heir of Christ. You have inherited all things that belong to God. You have inherited not just heaven, but you have inherited earth. You have inherited everything that's here. Praise the Lord. It's not going to be in the hands of the devil's kids forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so by the very grace of God, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, the Bible says you are rich. All right? You are well supplied, meaning you lack no good thing. And so now that's what's on the inside of us, but you know what we really need is to catch up, meaning this spiritual life and this relationship with God is about taking what's on the inside and moving it to the outside, where provision is and help. You know, I see so many people, you know, they're stressing about money. They're chasing money. They're working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week, you know, trying to make ends meet. There's no peace in their life. There's no joy in their life. There's no recreation in their life. We were not put on this earth to chase money. We were put on this earth to have a relationship with God and have time enough to have, of course, plenty of peace in our life. But time and resource enough to fund the gospel, get people saved, amen, enjoy our families. But people are stressing, you know, they've lost peace in your thought life. And I'm telling you, if you've lost control of your thought life, you're poor. There is no poorer life to live than a life that's dominated by wrong thinking. That's what poverty is. And I'll tell you what, if poverty has gotten a hold of your mind, it will get a hold of your checkbook. It'll get a hold of your lack of job or whatever. It'll get a hold of your financial situation, because what's going on in your mind at any given time is going to manifest itself eventually on the outside. Look around your life, all right? It is basically, have you ever, you know, seen those snow globes? You know those snow globes, and you shake them up and all the snowflakes go flying, and some of them are pretty big and they're pretty elaborate and they have this whole scene in there. Well, you know, when it's been sitting there and it's been still, right, you know, it looks very peaceful in there. Sure. And of course, that can all change the moment you shake it up. And so it could go from a very peaceful, serene scene in there to all of a sudden one that's blowing and blustery and so on. That's exactly what's going on in so many Christians' mind. The devil comes around, he gives them a shake, and he robs their peace and turns what Jesus gave them, a serene peace on the inside, all of a sudden it's stirred up into a blustery mess. You know, we need not to be living life like that. Because that little picture, you know, how many of you know that little diorama or whatever you want to call it, that little scene on the inside, it's supposed to mimic kind of what we all think about Christmas on the outside. You know what I mean? It's like your head's like a snow globe. You know, what's in there should be like what you want it to look like out here. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what is going to happen. Whatever's going on in your thought life, in your thinking, is going to manifest on the outside. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, what is it, 23, verse 7? So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
That's right.
Right? So as you think in your heart, so is your life.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And so you could just say it this way, whatever the weather is on the inside of your mind, it is going to eventually going to surround you in your natural life. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, Christians, they think too small. They think wrong about financial things. They worry about things they have no business worrying about. They get into a tumultuous thought life and it kills them. And that's what poverty is. Poverty is wrong thinking. All right, it just so happens that a lack of money goes along with wrong thinking. Yeah, wrong thinking just happens to produce a lack of money. Yeah, amen. Go to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to start in verse 5. We're going to read through verse 8. Oh, praise God. We're going to get some help here. You say, well, he's going to help me with my finances. Well, yes, but I'm going to first help you with your thought life. You know, and see how it affects your financial life. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 25, and of course the last couple weeks I've just been kind of ministering along the line of what God says about provision, about having more than enough. Praise God. Would someone go ahead and close the back doors of the sanctuary there? We have a nice glare coming off someone's windshield out there. It's like a laser beam right in my eyes. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at how our thoughts can inhibit or help the plans of God for our life. Yes, even the provision of God for our life. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 5, it says, "For they," or those people, "that are after or pursue the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God," that means it's an enemy of God, "for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." All right, so let's go back here to verse 5. I want to dig some things, you know, out of these scriptures here. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." And you see this connection and this relationship between the mind and the flesh. Yes. We know that the body is always going to want to control the mind. The body and the mind will try to gang up against the spirit in your life and try to convince you to do things that are ungodly and out of the plan and the will of God. But notice this. It says, "Those that end up pursuing the flesh, they do so because they mind the things of the flesh." You know, I think it's interesting that that word mind in the Greek is also the Greek word for opinions. Or they follow the opinions of the flesh. Isn't that what life is? A battle of? It is a battle of constantly your flesh trying to tell you something that really goes against what God told you. All right, when you're facing, you know, a need in your life and you're facing, you know, problems in your life or a financial crisis or whatever, your body, your flesh will start telling the mind, you know, basically, you're not going to make it. You know, we're going to go without. We're going to lack. We're going to, you know, this thing is going to consume us. We're going to lose our job, lose our house or whatever it is. You know, see, that is just the opinion of the flesh. Telling your mind, my opinion is you're not going to make it. My opinion is that you're going to go without. My opinion is you're going to be sad and depressed and full of anxiety with this thing, you know. But I said, but notice it says that people that pursue the Spirit do mind or take the opinions of the Spirit. Amen. Notice what's going on in your life on a constant basis is the opinions of the flesh versus the opinions of the Spirit. The opinions of the Spirit are basically just God's word.
That's right.
Right? Sure. The flesh will say, we're not going to make it. Oh, this is hard. This is tough. This is, you know, big and it's worse than we thought. But the opinions of the Spirit are, but my God shall supply all my needs. Amen. Amen. And we may look at this at some point or another, but the opinions of God is Deuteronomy 28. Yes. Right? He will make you the head, not the tail. Above, not beneath, right? The lender, not the borrower. Glory to God. Amen. And so there's a constant battle being waged in, you know, in life with the opinions of the flesh versus the opinions of the Spirit. Oh, come on now. So this is exactly how many Christians live, through the opinions of the flesh. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Poverty essentially is when the opinions of the flesh overwhelm one's life. Okay? Did you get a hold of that? Poverty, or the definition of poverty, is essentially when the opinions of the flesh have overwhelmed your life and have consumed you. If you're here and you're feeling consumed by life, then you have listened to the opinions of your flesh. You have followed your flesh into wrong relationships. You have followed your flesh into wrong jobs or businesses. You have followed your flesh into wrong investments or just wrong places. Come on now. Yeah, praise the Lord. When the opinions of the flesh overwhelm one's life, there is no poorer life than a life that's being led by the flesh all the time. Say, well, I don't have a local church. Well, then you're a poor person. Well, Pastor, don't say that to me. I got a good job, but I just don't have a church. well, you're a poor person. Because you are going to find yourself losing that battle with the opinions of the flesh all the time. Come on. See, I'll tell you what. Poverty is how you think. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Poverty is not about money, just like salvation is not about works.
Right?
Right? Just like works cannot save your soul, right? Money cannot make you prosperous.
That's right.
All right? And people are saying, well, you know, it's money that I'm after. See, you're not chasing God's prosperity. Because if you're chasing God's prosperity, you're chasing the right thought life. You are chasing the right relationships. See, what is prosperity? And of course, go down to verse 8. All right? Go down to verse 8 here. Remember what we said? That those that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, you know, so many times, and that's the big point it's making. Notice it's not just about did they make enough money? Did they have enough a famous job or, you know, you know what I'm talking about? They didn't have earthly success to a certain degree. The question is, did they please God? And see, that's where all prosperity flows when God is pleased. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord. Say, well, Pastor Tim, does it prosper my life when I go to church? Yeah, because it pleases God. Does it prosper my life when I tithe? How can tithing prosper your life when it seems like you are letting go of money, but it prospers you? You know why? Because it pleases God. Amen. Praise the Lord. How does praise and worship? You know, how does the Bible say in Psalm 67, verse 5, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth will yield her increase. Right? Why does it increase the people when we praise God? Maybe you're here tonight and you're wondering, why are people running and shouting and jumping? They're praising God. And what does the Bible say that it do? It does. It unleashes the increase of the earth. Why? Because it pleases God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why is, you know, anything that you're participating in of the Spirit, why? Because it pleases God. Because it all builds up towards a right thinking or a right thought life in your life. Amen. Praise God. So we're gonna you know, get a little bit more specific here in just a moment. Amen. Go down to verse 6. Let's keep going. It says, in verse 5, it said, they that are after the flesh do take the opinions of the flesh, but those that are after the Spirit, they regard the opinions of the Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. You know what the Holy Ghost's opinion for your life is? Be in church. You know, what's the opinion of the Spirit for your life? Stop sinning. Stop filling your life of godless entertainment. You know? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. What is, you know, why is tithing important? Because it's God's direction of best. Amen. Praise and worship. I mean, all these things that we are instructed to do. Why do we do them? Amen. Because it pleases Him and it prospers us. Listen, you need to praise God more than God needs you to praise God. Say, well, do I have to? But no, you sure want to, believe me. Believe me, because the results of it are too good to miss. Amen. I said we were going to verse 6. It says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Wow. Notice your thoughts will either kill or destroy or cause the plans of God to live in your life. Notice that the plans of God in your life, the provision of God, can be completely killed by your thoughts. Wow. You see that? It says to be carnally minded is death. Carnal is, again, a reference to the flesh. You're always listening. You're minded of the flesh, the opinions of the flesh. And it says it's death. It says, but to be spiritually minded, or take the opinions of the Spirit, is life and peace. Now, I think it's really interesting. That word life there is a word that we've talked about before. It's a Greek word zoe. All right? It means the power of God. It means the nature and the presence of God. It literally means life as God has it. All right? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life as God has it.
Yes, amen.
All right. Notice your thoughts can either help bring, if you want to live like God, you got to think like God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the word peace here, guess what that word peace is in the Greek? You can look at it in the concordance just like I did. I'm no Greek scholar or anything, but it means prosperity. It is literally the Greek word for prosperity. That's, you probably wondered, well, man, he's talking about poverty and finances and things. Why is he bringing us to these scriptures? Well, here's the answer to that. Because we will never prosper beyond how we think. Oh, praise the Lord. We will never have any more. We will never grow. We will never see increase. We'll never advance. We'll never succeed higher than what we're thinking. And I'll tell you what, tonight we're going to break into new levels of thinking. Stop thinking small financially. Stop thinking small spiritually. Stop thinking small maritally. And you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the devil is always trying to draw you into small things. You know what I mean? He's trying to get you in offense, get you offended with what some small thing that someone said or somebody did. It's just a small thing. You know, God is a big picture God. He has got a bigger plan. It's exceedingly abundantly more and above what we could ask or think, according to Ephesians 3:20. Listen, it's bigger than what you think. So what's that mean? You better think big and make God get over it. I've said that for years. God is not blessing small thinkers. The devil's a small thinker. He's petty. He's easily offended. He's mad all the time. He's impatient all the time. Come on now. To be carnally minded is death. That word death means also destruction. It also, you could say it this way, it means poverty. It could be to destroy any aspect of your life. Spirit, soul, body, and wallet. Right? But to be spiritually minded is life as God has it and prosperity. So notice my prosperity is on the other side of me having the right thought life. So I better get my thought life straight. Amen. If I'm going to prosper God's way, because notice this, the wrong thoughts can even kill God's provision in your life. Why am I saying this? Why am I defining poverty as a wrong mindset? Because that's what the Bible's telling us here. You know, people do not have peace and they do not have prosperity. They don't have life because, you know, life as God has it because this thing right up here. Even Christians who are born again go without the peace of God manifested. They go without the prosperity of God manifested in their life, right? Because they never had a right thinking process, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is really just the introduction of the message. Verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. An easier way to say that would be the carnal mind is an enemy of God. Think about that. Notice that the devil isn't the only enemy around here that you contend with. You thought you had a devil on your shoulder. You know, that old, you know, the old cartoons, they show the devil on the shoulder and an angel on the shoulder. No, there's no devil on your shoulder. You're dealing with a carnal mind living inside your skull. And we all have one. And this mind is, you know, it's not born again like our spirit is. You know what I mean? We have, you know, thinking and thoughts that try to come against us and tear us down. And listen, a thought can be destructive even though it's not sinful. A thought can be destructive even if it's not sinful. Having small thinking, meaning this, not believing for anything more is destructive, though it's not a sin per se. You know, if I sit here and if I ask you, what is your faith for? What are you using your faith for at this moment in your life? And if you say nothing, I tell you what, you're a poor person.
Come on, good work, Pastor. Come on.
Because you're never going to prosper until your faith is actively being used at any given moment. Say, well, I'm using my faith for a home, a job, a child, whatever it is, right? It's good that you're using your faith. If you're not using your faith, it's, of course, impossible to please God, right? The mind is an enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Meaning your mind, it's a poor leader, right? It's a poor compass. it's a poor direction giver. So you better learn to do something with it.
Right.
Amen. Because those thoughts are either taking you into the prosperity promised land or they're killing it, destroying it. Oh, come on. You know what I mean? People will have, you know, they will have small thinking. You know, there'll be people, we've had people come into this church and they were here back in the days of, you know, when we were in the smaller building. And there were people that actually told me, they said, you know, we don't want this church to get any bigger. Because this is such a tight family group that we're having here. We don't want it to get bigger. That is small thinking. That is small thinking. You know, when the church, you know, when you hear that this church is planning other satellite churches and you know, people say, oh, do we, you know, another special offering to plant a church? You're a small thinker. Yeah. You know, oh, my boss came to me at work and they wanted to promote me into a job that I'm really, you know, I don't really know much. I'm just kind of scared to take it. I'm just going to stay right here. You're a small thinker. You're a small thinker. I don't want any more responsibility. I'm just happy where it's comfortable. You're a small thinker. Well, you know, I'd like to have this and like to have something else, like to have another home or whatever, but I just don't, you know, we'll just, this is where we've always been. This is where it's always been comfortable, so we'll stay here. Small thinker. Small thinker. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm just kind of coasting through life. You're a small thinker. Listen, if you're not thinking about taking more ground somewhere, you're a small thinker. I want to take more ground for God. And I'm not talking about getting greedy for financial things or whatever. No, I'm talking about, listen, God loves it when we believe Him for more. We believe Him for more. You know, don't, you know, people, you know, they'll have their kids, you know, mom, dad, we'd love to go on a vacation to the beach. And the dad will say, what do you think? Money grows on trees. Small thinker. Well, do you know what you just put in your child? You just, you know, you're dashing their ability to think big. That's be like, yeah, let's believe God for that. Let's believe God for that. Well, I mean, you know, my vehicle's 30 years old and it's falling apart, but I just can't put it together. You know, believe Him for another one. Yeah. Well, no. Don't be a small thinker.
Yeah, right. Amen. Good
word. Praise the Lord. If you're believing for a child, believe for two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, I see, you know, I'll have Christians sitting there and you know, their lives are falling apart. And I'm just sitting there and out of a heart to want to help them, I think like, you know, you just want to be like, you know, wake up. You got to think bigger than this. Well, she said something to me and no one has ever said anything more hurtful to me than that. You should try to be me for a while. I was like, you know, well, I'm just so offended. I can't believe they did that. You're a small thinker. Well, I'm offended. Small thinker. Yeah, but the nursery worker, small thinker. Oh, that church is one of those running churches. Small thinker if you're complaining about it. Now the music was too loud. Small thinker. Well, I just complain all the time. Then you are a very small thinker. Well, I don't see us ever having any more than what we have right now. Small thinker. You're not thinking the thoughts or the opinions of God. Yeah. See, I love, can you bring up Romans 5:17? You know, I mean, you're right there. You're right in that neighborhood in the word, but just bring it up for the sake of time. If by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more. I love that. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace. He didn't just give you grace. He gave you an overflowing abundance of it. Listen to the words that describe your life in God's mind. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He says, you are much more abundant, reign in life. I like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is that talking about? That's a big thinking thought right there. That's a God thought. He said, I'm going to give you an abundance of grace.
Yes.
I'm not just giving you just enough. I'm the God who's more than enough. You know, your cup doesn't just come to the brim and stop. It runs over. It pours onto the floor. Even if it looks like it's going to waste, it's okay with God. He wants you to have more than enough, more than you'll ever use. Well, we've just, you know, we just have a house with no yard. It would be nice to have a yard someday, but I don't know. No. Think bigger. Yeah. Well, come on now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Breaking into new levels of thinking.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, we just want a cozy, comfortable little, you know, country church. Small thinking.
Yeah. That's right.
Nothing wrong with a small country church. You know what I'm saying? But if the people there are just saying, we just don't want it to grow any more than it is right now, that's small thinking. You say, well, we've planted enough churches recently. Can't we take a few years off? That's small thinking. That's small thinking. You know what that is? That's saying that you're, you know, happy and content with your salvation while you're willing to let others be lost. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I'm not willing for them to be lost. And I'm not willing for believers, especially believers, you know, that are under my care. You know, I don't want you to remain small thinkers. Come on, praise the Lord. Well, you know, I just don't think this marriage is going to work. Small thinker. You know? Really, when I say this, don't misunderstand this or take this wrong, but you know what? Suicidal thoughts. Just small thinking. You know, it's just, you know, I'm just going to, you know, that all that it comes from is the devil trying to reduce your life until it's snuffed out. Come on now. Come on. Praise the Lord. All right, we're back over here in Romans 8. Praise the Lord. So notice in verse 7, it says, the mind is an enemy of God. Therefore, it is an enemy of God's provision.
Sure.
If it's against God, then it's against everything from his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Notice it says there, and we kind of looked at this in verse 6, but it says, you know, that word peace means prosperity. Isn't it, you know, ironic that money cannot buy peace? You know what I mean? But that's what people, exactly, they are under the program to think that that's what it buys them. You know, but here's the thing, is that money chases peace. Money doesn't buy peace, it chases peace. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now you go down there to verse 8, and of course we've already read this. So then that they that are small thinkers cannot please God.
Sure.
That's the way you might as well read it. Amen. So let's talk about the things real quick that kill prosperity. All right. Number one, small thinking. I've already preached that point already. About 5 times over already. Yep. Poverty is simply the destruction of God's provision. Yep, because of wrong thinking. See, like I said, we are to think like Deuteronomy 28. Are you ready? I told you we might go there, and sure enough, we are going to go there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's look at the Bible way of thinking. Hallelujah. And this is Old Testament thinking. This is old covenant that's been fulfilled, rolled up, and put away. We have a new covenant with better promises. Deuteronomy 28, let's just start the first verse. We'll read down maybe to verse 14 or so. And I don't know how much preaching this really requires. I think it just does just fine by itself. Verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What does that mean? You're taking his thoughts. Amen. Praise the Lord. What does it mean? What if you don't know his thoughts? What if you don't know the voice of the Lord your God? First and foremost, the voice of the Lord your God is the written word.
Yes.
When you have those thoughts, you better have, you know, an answer for it on the other side. He says, oh, you don't have enough. This is what you're going to, you know. I mean, you better know at least Philippians 4:19 or, you know, Proverbs 10:22. We quote these things all the time around here. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it.
Right.
Yeah, the blessing of God does what? Maketh rich. So, well, I don't know. See, I grew up in a church that said that, you know, to be poor was to be humble and humility, and Christians are supposed to be poor. Well, that church or that denomination got duped into small thinking.
Sure.
Because that's not what the Bible says. Just so we know, can we just bring up Proverbs 10:22? Because in case, you know, people are visiting and they think, oh my goodness, this is so radical to our ears. Well, I know because people don't preach it anymore. But go to Proverbs 10:22 just real quick. We'll go right back to Deuteronomy 28. It says, the blessing of the Lord maketh what? Rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. And just think, you don't even have to be sorry for having something nice. You know, it's like everywhere Christians go that, you know, desire to God to grow them and increase them, they feel like they have to apologize for it. We don't have to apologize for it. All right? You say, oh, you know, he's talking about Christians should just have a lot of money. No, Christians should be big thinkers. And when they think right, the provision of God will come to them.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. Amen. You know, see, because big thinkers, they don't fall apart when times get tough. They don't whimper and cry and whine and fall to pieces. When, see, every circumstance that comes your way, you know what it is? It's just a small matter. It's just a small matter. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. Well, I guess what? If you'll follow God, within a year, you'll hardly even remember what you're going through today. You won't even remember it a year or two from now. Because it's a small matter. It's small in comparison to God's view, in comparison to the grand scope of your life with God. It's a small matter. But people that fall apart over every small matter, they're small thinkers. Because they must have believed somewhere along the way that a lack of money could destroy them. You won't cry when you lose a job or if a job, you know, a company dissolves or something like that. You won't cry about it, right, when you're a big thinker.
That's right. Amen.
Well, listen, I understand these are real trials that real people face. And I am not in any way trying to purposely sound as insensitive as I sound up here. Because I can hear my own voice. And I even think my own mind says, gee whiz, you're being really insensitive. No, it's not about being insensitive. It's about strengthening believers that when the devil knocks on their door, they don't just crumble into life and fall into a pile of anxiety and fear. That when that stuff comes and when that stuff happens, you're just a rock. And it bounces off of you. And you say, you know what? In the scope of things, I'm just going to go to the other side of this. This is just a small matter. Because God's blessing is with me, whether it is, you know, just pouring in today or it's pouring out today. Right? Praise the Lord. You know, it makes me think of Philippians 4:11. Can you bring that up? These aren't verses I was planning on preaching on, but these are verses I just turned to and put in my thought process. Paul says this. He says, not that I speak in respect of lack or want. He said, because for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content.
Yeah.
Can you bring this up in the Amplified? I think it really, you know, hits home in the Amplified. He says, not that I'm implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. You know, and he's talking here in the face of having a lot or having a little.
Sure, right.
Listen, having a lot shouldn't change you.
Right.
And having a little shouldn't change you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know what? But you should change the little. You know what I mean? If you're experiencing, you know what I mean by little, just lack, just not much happening. Well, guess what? It can change.
Amen.
And I'm not standing here from the standpoint like I have, you know, some millions of dollars stashed away somewhere, because that, you know, money or no, you know, money or not, whatever state you're in, contentment is what God's looking for. See, because contentment will make sure you have more than enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I just think it's very interesting in God's word. If you will put your priority on the right thought life, on contentment, on right character, on responsibility, money will come to you. God will make sure you have more than enough. But if money becomes the pursuit of Christians, meaning it's like that's all they live for, is I just got to chase money, do whatever it takes, you know, compromise character, compromise integrity to have money. If that's what it becomes, money will flee from you. And almost a good thing, because you do not ever want to accomplish any kind of success apart from godly character, because it crushes you then. Yep, absolutely. Praise the Lord. He says, no matter where I'm at, I am not disturbed or disquieted. Listen, I've seen money disturb, lots of money disturb people before because their character wasn't prepared for it. It disturbed their life. It was almost the worst thing that ever happened to them was make a lot of money fast. It's not about money with God. It's about your character. Amen. And you've heard me say it 1,000 times around here. Cash without character is a curse. If your character isn't prepared to handle it, you don't want it.
Right?
Amen. The Bible says that over and over. Read through the, you know, through the book of Proverbs. You know, better is a little than having great wealth and trouble therewith.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what it's talking about. If you don't have the character to handle it, you don't want it.
Right.
But see, that's what I'm here to do tonight is put the right character, put that right thinking, put that priority in your life so you can receive it. Amen. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, here's the thoughts of God. Here's how you think. And this is Old Testament thinking. So it's even better in the New Testament where we live. It says, and it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. That's where I was saying you need a scripture to combat those thoughts. You know, every day of your life, you know, if you have kids, the devil's going to try to tell you. He's going to try to hurt them or harm them. No, my seed is mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright, they're blessed. Psalm 112, verse 3. No, all my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Isaiah 54, 13.
Right?
What is that? That's you know, I mean, you better learn to answer those thoughts. You better learn to answer those thoughts because they're coming to steal, kill, and destroy God's provision in your life. Amen. I tell you what, we better develop some vision on the inside about our kids. We should be fellowshipping with God and getting glimpses about things that God's called them to so that we can help facilitate their future. I'm thinking big about my kids' future. God thinks big about your kids' future. It says, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their house, and their righteousness will endure forever. God says, I see your kids. He says, and they're righteous and they're rich. Oh, well, I know. I'm upsetting someone's apple cart up there. Can you bring up Psalm 112, verse, what is that, 3? Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
3 and 4, or just 3? I think it's 2 and 3. Go to Psalm 112. Yeah. Actually, go to verse 2. We'll go to the King James. I mean, this is fine, too. The King James is the Amplified in the Old Testament. There's not much difference. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. This is, well, go to verse 1. We got to know why. We got to know why your children are going to be blessed. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman that feareth. That means to reverence or worship the Lord. That means to obey him, right? And it says that diligent, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Do you delight greatly in the word? Do you just do everything in your power to follow what God says? No matter what it means for your time or your money or your effort. Amen. Verse 2, your seed, his seed, that means your children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Right? So God blesses the generation, you know, that's the children of the upright.
That's right.
And look at verse 3, wealth and riches. Whoa, my goodness, this is the Bible. Wait, I thought that, you know, it was just this dusty old religious book, you know, that grandma had and just made everyone, you know, want to be poor. No. They I don't know where they got that, but they didn't get it from the Bible because my Bible, which is the same Bible everyone can get, wealth and riches shall be in his house and his righteousness endureth forever.
Amen.
That's what God thinks about your kids.
Yes.
Woo. Come on, all you kids should be excited about that. Because God says he's going to reward you for the faithfulness of your parents. See, look at the Michener young ones over here. They're all smiling. They're excited about that. Well, you'd qualify if your dad was faithful, but, oh, wait, he is. He is. That's right. You do qualify. If you get picked on here in this church, it's because you're just so beloved. And yeah, that's why. Amen. Praise the Lord. Or if you don't get picked on, maybe you don't have a good enough sense of humor to handle it. You know, believe me, my pastor picks on me all the time. It's out of fun and love, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, man. We have so many faithful, awesome, wonderful people around here that if they try real hard, maybe they'll be as awesome as Pastor Jeff someday. Because he is awesome. Is that better? Did I make up for it? Yeah. Wealth and riches. Wow. My boys are here tonight. Here they are, boys. That's what the scripture is saying about you. Amen. Man, I'm going to start to cry. Can we have a family hug or something? But that's how God thinks about your kids. That's how God thinks about your kids. But the devil will come in and he'll show you pictures. He'll torment your mind. He'll attack you in every sort of way. But what if you had this scripture in your thought life? And you said, no, stop right there. Because my thought is, right? That wealth and riches will be in their house. And they'll be mighty upon the earth. And their righteousness will do it forever.
Amen.
I like that. Deuteronomy 28. I'm really trying to get there. Amen. You know what? It's exciting to think like God thinks. The world is just out there living a life of godless thoughts. God isn't in their thoughts. Where does it say that? What is that? Is that, what scripture is that? God's not in all of his thoughts. What scripture is that? Psalm 10 and verse 9. Someone help me out. Where is that? Go to Psalm 10. Help me out. Where is that? Or is it verse 10? I know that. Psalm 10 verse 4. 10:4. I knew it was close. I knew there was a 10 in there. The wicked one in the pride of his countenance will not seek, inquire, or yearn for God. All his thoughts are that there is no God, so he never... Now, that, look at the King James. I like how the King James words it a little bit better. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. So that tells us that God can be in all of our thoughts. You can put God in your thoughts. How do you put God in your thoughts? With his word. With his word. Right? Because the spiritually minded, it will be life as God has it and prosperity.
Amen.
If you'll think like God, you'll have what God has.
Right.
You'll live like God lives.
Amen.
You'll enjoy life. Amen. Deuteronomy 28. I really am purposing to get here. It shall come to pass if you'll hearken diligently into the voice of the Lord your God. That's why I keep stopping there. The voice of God.
Yes.
But what if you don't know the scriptures? What if you spent time skipping church and you don't know what it says?
Yeah.
What if? Then God won't be in your thoughts.
That's right.
It'll be the vanity of your pride, we just read in Psalm 10:4, right? How can you diligently hearken to the voice of God if you don't even know what he wrote down?
Yeah, exactly.
You won't know it. You won't know what to do when the small thinking comes to you.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You better remind small thinking with big thinking all the time.
Yeah, good word.
All the time. All the time. Because the devil's going to give you thoughts. He's going to give you pictures. He's going to give you thoughts about whether it's kids, it's finances, it's job, it's your home, it's everything. And it's just small and it's lacking.
Yeah.
He's done that. He's cast that wrong thinking upon the whole earth.
Sure.
You know? If I'm going to get into something, I'm going to get into it big.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it says, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That's the reason why this nation was set high above all nations on the earth. There's actually been no nation in the history of this earth like the United States. Because our country, you know, in the liberals or the whoever you want to call them, the godless side of our society, and I'm not talking politically or whatever, but the godless side of our society has tried to deny the fact that this nation was founded upon Christian ideas. It's the one and only reason we have become what we had been and have been. Amen. The reason why we enjoy this freedom in this nation is because our founders had a blueprint for how this nation was constructed. It was the Bible. You know? Praise the Lord. Oh, nothing. Not any other religion. Not any other group of people. Nothing has contributed greater to the success of this country than Christian ideals and principles. Nothing. Nothing. All right? Islam has not. They haven't contributed one good thing to this country. Not one. Not any other false religion has contributed one good thing to this nation. Not at all. The Lord made this nation great. And the ones that we happen to welcome in, they became great. You know, if their lives were bettered, it was because of what was first produced here. It's not, I'm not anti-immigrant. I'm not anti-anything. I'm not, you know, it's not about racism or anti, you know, someone else's beliefs or whatever. It's not trying to persecute anybody. But that's just the truth. That's just the truth. This nation was great. Because God set this nation high above all the nations of the earth because of our founding.
That's right.
And he was going to raise up a nation that would defend Israel.
Yes.
Yep. And the moment we stop doing that, then our purpose is gone. Just so you know. Right? Praise the Lord. And he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. That is big thinking. It's just not the blessings are going to come on you. They're going to overwhelm you. Come on, I know there's plenty of you here tonight that you know and you have looked at your life and said, my goodness, God has overwhelmed my life with blessing. I mean, you know, when I look at my wife and my kids, that is overtaken with blessing. Amen. There's things that happen in my life and I'm just like, God, that's so good of you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God doesn't want just blessings to, you know, sprinkle and tinkle on you.
Yeah.
Right? He wants them to come on you and overtake you if you'll heed his voice of the Lord your God. Oh, that's so good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're just happy to get a breath of blessing. You know, people are just like, oh, just give me one nostril above one. Just let me pay my bills for 1 month on time. How about we pay them off?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Oh, man. So whether you work in the city, so either you're a yuppie or a redneck. He blesses them all. Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. That means your kids and your health. And the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Well, you might not trade in farm sheep and flocks and things like that nowadays, but that's talking about business,
yes,
commerce, currency, and finances.
Amen.
He says he is going to bless, well, it's your body. He's going to bless your work. He's going to bless your finances. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. That means your places of savings. Yep, verse 6. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. When do you say that? You know, I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field. Verse 7, I like this verse. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, that do rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Watch this in verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Isn't that exactly what it is? They're afraid of us in the schools. They're afraid of us in the universities. They're afraid of us on the news. They're afraid of us in politics. They just think if they could just get the Christians out of the way. But guess what? You can't get us out of the way. Praise God. Verse 11, it gets even better. Here comes your finances. You ready? And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Well, I don't know where they got that poor idea. In the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Watch this in verse 12. Here's your finances again. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of your hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. What if you never had to take a loan again? That's what God's thinking about.
Yes.
Not that it's wrong for you to take a loan. But what if? What if Christians start thinking that way?
Yes.
I'm going to get to a point in my life I'll never take a loan again.
Right.
Actually, I'll be giving loans.
Yeah.
I'll be funding and helping.
Yes.
Isn't that the right way to think?
Yes.
I'm set high above the nations of the earth.
Right.
I'm the lender, not the borrower.
Yes.
He'll make me plenteous in goods. He'll give the rain unto my land in due season. He'll make the people of this earth afraid of me because they'll know I'm called by the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love it because this is big thinking. This is God thinking. Verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. It didn't just mean you'll get above once in a while. It says when you get there, you'll stay there. Man, you're the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. God is looking for a people that will actually follow his word to the T.
Yes.
And look what he is willing to do when he finds a group of people that will do that.
Yes.
Think like this. Think like this. So, the devil's going to say, well, you can't have something that nice. No, God said he'd make me plenteous in goods.
That's right.
No, I can't have something bigger or better. Well, why not? Why not? Amen. You know, imagine if the Christians were manifesting what the scripture says. And think of the churches all across the world that would just be paid off. If we were walking in the level of prosperity that God thinks for us, we'd build buildings like this, and we'd build them out of our pocket change. We'd build them out of our pocket change. Why? If we were big thinkers, if we were big obeyers, right? If we are excited about the things of God to do what he says, amen, praise the Lord. If we thought right, amen. And then, of course, verse 14, we can't leave it out. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Amen. What does that mean? God's got to be first.
Right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? Think bigger. Listen, when your pastor, because we have other pastors here, when your pastor is up there casting vision about a new work, whether it's an outreach, whether it's another church, or if it's a special program, if it's a special offering, he's a big thinker.
Yes.
Just thinking big. You know, when we have Pastor Nancy Dufresne here at the end of July, we're going to take a double up offering. What is that? Because we're thinking big. For her ministry and our participation in that. Praise the Lord. You know, we should think about filling our churches. We should be inviting people to church. We should be winning them to the Lord. I mean, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Think big about your kids. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Have some vision. You know what I mean? See some pictures on the inside. Have some vision about your home.
Yes. Good.
You know? Praise the Lord. I mean, anything here, you know, People that are visionaries, anything that comes into their possession becomes better. Anything that comes into their possession. All right? This is where I haven't gotten to yet, and I have just a few minutes to finish it up. All right? Here's a second thing that kills prosperity. All right? The first was what? Small thinking. The whole, what we've taken the first almost hour to talk about. And that's why I said Deuteronomy 28 is how we're supposed to think. Two, this is what kills prosperity, is the lack of generosity. See? Someone that's selfish is a small thinker. Why? Because they only think of self. Yep. And see, the problem is they don't think of themselves as being small. Listen, just one person in the grand scheme of things is small. You know what I mean? In a sense. But what I'm talking about is that when we have vision enough to see the people around us, to see the church that we're a part of and see the vision there, amen, praise the Lord. People that aren't generous, what are they? They're small thinkers. They're small thinkers. Praise the Lord. You know, as businesses are starting up, think big. I mean, don't you just believe that there's going to be businesses raised up around here that are going to pay these churches off? Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. And it might as well just be you. You know? Praise the Lord. Here's a third thing that kills prosperity. This is what I was about to get into. Being cheap. Ooh, here we go. Man, I just felt the second sermon just fire up here. Being cheap. There is nothing wrong with getting a good deal. But there's everything wrong in choosing poor quality. Every time we look at something, that's why I was saying, when something comes into our possession, it should become better than it was before. You know? I was borrowing somebody's pontoon boat the other day, and I was taking my boys fishing, and I spilled the worms, and you know, the dirt and all that crud, and it got on the carpet. You know, we cleaned it up, but there still was kind of like a stain left on the carpet from the that dirt that they put in with the night crawlers and stuff like that, and you know, it just bugged me to leave something worse than I found it. I'll tell you what, when something comes into our possession, listen, if you buy a used car, praise God. You know, I actually prefer, you know, buying a vehicle that's slightly used because of the value you get in. That's just me, all right? That's just me. Thank God for brand new. You believe what you want to believe, all right? I am just saying that when something comes into your possession, it should be made better. You know, everyone's going to prosper, you know, at the level they're at. God's going to grow you from there. And I'll tell you what, it begins with first being a good steward of what you have now. Amen. So let's just ask ourselves, what does the interior of your vehicle look like? Is it a dusty, you know, crusty mess? You know, and of course, I'm not talking about a work vehicle. You know, I understand that. I'm talking about your personal vehicle. You get in there and it's almost like you can scrape the dust. You can almost, it's like an anthropology dig in there. You know, I'm finding, you know, bones from the Cretaceous period. I don't want to travel back to the Pleistocene epoch. Oh, at least I was entertained by my own joke. Praise God. Being cheap. You know, God always looks for quality. Why shouldn't we? It would be better to buy one high-quality thing than 10 cheap pieces of junk. It really would. I've started to realize this and understand this. In our world, everything has been cheapened down. Everything has been cheapened down and sold in mass quantity, mass-produced junk, you know, from overseas and all that stuff. And really, you look at the history, when this nation was the most prosperous just after the Great Depression, coming out of that into World War II, and then the years that followed, our manufacturing here was second to none in the world. We made our own stuff. I was just talking the other day, having lunch with somebody in the church, and, you know, we were talking about Crescent Tools that was made right here. You know, the Crescent Wrench? Made right here in Jamestown, New York. And if you still find an old original Crescent wrench that might be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, they are still better than this cheap junk coming from overseas that is in all the hardware stores today. You know, you find one of those, hold on to it, because it's going to be better because it was made high quality. Now everything's just made mass-produced, trying to sell on volume and not on quality. And I started realizing, when you start to look at it, ever since America went that way, we have grown nothing but poorer. Nothing but poorer. And I used to make this mistake, thinking I'd rather have more junk than one nice thing or something made in high quality. And I'll tell you what, God looks for high quality before he uses anything, doesn't he? You ever read his qualifications for ministry and the things and what he wants to find in people before he uses them? Right? You have to be what? Fit for the master's use. He only will use the highest quality of integrity and character. Why do we take products into our life? Why do we sacrifice quality for junk? Amen. I believe there, I started to see this and realizing God, you know, now believe me, are there suits out there that are better than this one? Of course there is. You know, I'm just talking about buying the best where you are at. And if you will buy the best at where you are at, God will see that you will have more to buy the best. You know? Come on now. And I tell you, again, we call this breaking into new levels. Break into a new level and buy something high quality for yourself. Find something that is just the best quality. Even if you could get 10 of the other things, break into a new level. Buy something that's high quality. You know, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, praise the Lord for the suit and whatever. I'm not one of those people that, you know, there's people, you know, it tends to be more women than men, but plenty of men do too. They just love clothes. You know, it's just not, you know, I'm not that guy that looks at clothes and just, you know, like I look at trucks.
Yeah.
You know, four-wheelers. See, I look, yeah. Yeah, bows, crossbows, rifles. You know, our generation needs some of that. My goodness. I saw, speaking of which, here we go. I saw it was a survey of over 1,000 different young men from the millennial generation. And out of all these 1,000 young men, only 30% viewed themselves as being strongly masculine. Because it's unpopular and untrendy to be masculine in these days that we live in. That survey should be 100%. And I'm thinking, you know, and they're talking about they are more likely to post on Instagram than they are to go fishing or hunting or, just do something manly. Go kill an animal and eat it and, go drive a truck. Go put on some, go shovel some manure or something. You know? It's I'm thinking back, my grandfather's generation saved this world. They built their homes with their bare hands. They went and they fought in Germany. Both of my grandfathers were combat veterans. One was a Purple Heart Bronze Star recipient. The other one was a POW, Staff Sergeant, Sherman tank driver, captured by the Germans 6 months in a German concentration camp. Went in about my size, 6 foot, 185. I'm a little bit more than that now. And he came out 98 pounds. You know, and then he hiked across the entire nation of Poland in that sixth state when he was liberated. And then they came home. They were both in their 20s. And they literally, both of my grandfathers, dug out their basement by hand with a shovel by themselves. And then they moved into the basements of the homes that they started to build and started a family in the basement. And then out of their paycheck, one was a sheet metal worker, one was a Chevy mechanic. They built their homes on top of it with money out of every paycheck every week. You know what I mean? They, I mean, just strong. I mean, many of you remember my grandfather, Warner Johnson. He was part of this church for a number of years. You remember those big club, strong hands of his, you know? And I mean, that generation was ready to save the world when it was called on.
Yeah.
And so we got to ask ourselves, if we find ourselves in a conflict like that again, is this millennial generation? Sorry, millennials. You know, you are going to be the best representations of this generation because we're behind. You know, and I know it sounds funny that, you know, go hunting or just go do something manly. Go, you know, go change the oil on a truck. Go set some, I mean, just go do something, you know, that's godly and manly. You know, because when this world, you know, gets in trouble, it's going to look for strong men, strong leadership. And I'll tell you what, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this generation right here. You know, praise the Lord. Why'd we get off on all that? Yeah, the suit, whatever. Just buy the best at where you're at. Because it'd be better to have something quality and well-made. God will reward that more than just going cheap all the time. If you go cheap all the time, you're a small thinker. Well, but the deal over here, it was just so much, it was such a better deal, it was a better deal. I knew it was a far cheaper product. Well, I dare you, break into the new level, you know? Oh man, I realize this, you know, you ever buy these chainsaws that are in these, you know, they're all these names that you've never heard of before? I guarantee you, you buy one of those cheap junk chainsaws, you're going to cut down about 3 or 4 trees and that thing's going to be garbage in less than a year. You know what I mean? You know, and you say, well, I'm not going to go spend double or 3 times the amount. Well, do that. Start out somewhere. You're going to have to break into a new level of prosperity somewhere. I'm not saying go out and buy things that you absolutely know you can't afford, but buy the best of where you're at right now. Pastor Nancy DeFranchi said something that's so true. She said, you know, you can buy cheap and then just keep buying cheap, or you can buy high quality, you know, once. And you will actually save more money over time.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it was a splatter barrel of things here tonight. But did you reach up into the air and pull out something that'll help your life? Praise the Lord. Listen, you know, I know sometimes I get on my tangents or my soapboxes and I have my rants and all that. And I happen to agree with a lot of my rants. You know, I do believe this generation needs to start raising some men. You know, and I mean, 30% see themselves as strongly masculine. And I'm thinking, what dude wants to say on a survey, well, I kind of see myself as a little feminine? And that was their answer. I don't see myself as masculine. Well, what else is there to, what do you mean? See, they need to see themselves in the light of this. Praise the Lord. Well, it's 8:07. Let's pray and get ready to take up tonight's offering.